The death of Rock Hudson has stunned the film world of both coasts, not because it was unexpected, it wasn't. Michael Ambrosini says it's because the death leaves a void not filled by any other actor. Michael?
Harry, as you said just a moment ago, Hudson was known more for romantic comedies like the ones in which he appeared with Doris Day than for heavy dramatic roles. And many critics say he had but one important film to his credit, and that was Giant, which you mentioned, directed by George Stevens. Ironically, it was the last film for James Dean, the 30th anniversary of whose death was just recently commemorated, just a few days ago. George Stevens Jr. worked on Giant with his late father, and he told me a short time ago if Hudson had done no other film in his career, he would live on in that one.
Giant is a film that audiences still enjoy 30 years after it was made, and those wonderful romantic comedies he did with Doris Day, those do live. And I think Rock deserves to be remembered for that, and I'm certain that he will also be remembered for the tragedy of his death, which has had so much to do with raising public consciousness concerning the disease that took him away.
Stevens says he feels a great sadness for a good friend and a fine actor. Stevens also says, Harry, that Hudson accepted his fate with courage and dignity.
All right, Michael, thank you. KNX News Time is 11:10. Well, actor Rock Hudson is dead at the age of 59. He died at his Beverly Hills home this morning. Hudson had the disease AIDS. Reporter Ed Tobias reviews Hudson's movie career, which began back in 1948.
Hudson epitomized the handsome leading man in 30 years of films. In television, he starred in Macmillan and Wife and appeared regularly in Dynasty. Hudson earned an Oscar nomination for his role opposite Elizabeth Taylor in the 1956 film Giant, but many remember him best for his roles opposite Doris Day in romantic comedies such as Pillow Talk.
Look, I don't know what's bothering you, but don't take your bedroom problems out on me.
I have no bedroom problems. There's nothing in my bedroom that bothers me.
Oh, that's too bad.
It was only shortly before his death it was revealed Hudson suffered from AIDS, the disease that killed him. I'm Ed Tobias.
Producer Aaron Spelling worked with Hudson on his last TV role on Dynasty. Spelling told KNX he was stunned by the news.
I'm glad that he finally achieved the dignity, the last stages of his illness that he was due. And I think he must be credited to making our community and perhaps the whole world aware of the insidious danger of this disease and perhaps get us all behind to help stamp it out.
Spelling says despite articles in the scandal sheets, people on the set of Dynasty were not panicked by the news that Hudson had AIDS. William Dennemeyer is talking about AIDS again. The Orange County congressman says he plans to write a bill barring children with AIDS from attending school. But first, he says he needs co-sponsors for the measure. Dennemeyer has sparked controversy with other proposals. One would make it a felony for gays to donate blood. A spokesman for the National Gay Task Force describes Dennemeyer's proposals as simplistic answers to a very complicated problem. KNX News Time, 11:35.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling. The entertainment world is mourning the death of actor Rock Hudson. He died today at his home in Beverly Hills after a year-long battle with the dread disease AIDS. Hudson was 60 years old. Doris Day, who starred with Hudson in the popular film Pillow Talk, broke into tears when she got the news and said, "This is so terrible, I can't believe it." Producer Aaron Spelling paid tribute to Hudson for helping to make people aware of AIDS and its consequences.
I'm glad that he finally achieved the dignity, the last stages of his illness that he was due. And I think he must be credited to making our community and perhaps the whole world aware of the insidious danger of this disease and perhaps get us all behind to help stamp it out.
Just last week, Rock Hudson announced he was giving $250,000 as a startup grant for a new national foundation to battle AIDS. More news in a moment.
Sometimes it takes persistence to find a bargain.
Now serving number 4,820.
Sometimes it takes determination.
Give me that sweater. I saw it first.
But with AT&T Opportunity Calling, you can save on luggage, travel, appliances, just by making your usual calls with AT&T Long Distance. So look for your catalog in the mail. And while other people go to extremes to find a bargain, you've already got your connections.
Hi, Mom.
AT&T Opportunity Calling. Another reason AT&T is the right choice.
Mom, do they have
spaghetti when you were small?
Spaghetti, Paul. Grandma always made me spaghetti with ragu sauce. Seems like 100 years ago.
They had ragu in the old days?
The very same ragu. Only now you can also have it like this, with extra cheese. You like it?
I love it. Mom, are you really 100 years old?
Eat your spaghetti.
Ragu spaghetti sauce has two new flavors, extra cheese and extra garlic. That's Italian.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are being sold, a move that's supposed to assure that they won't go elsewhere. We have a report from Dennis Atkinson of station KQV.
The city of Pittsburgh, along with several corporations and individuals in the city, have agreed in principle to buy the Pirates for $22 million. The Galbraith family, which has owned the team for 30 years, put the Bucks on the block last November. The public-private coalition was formed a few months ago to buy the Pirates and keep them from moving out of town. Ryan Holmes Chairman Malcolm Prine will be the team's new president.
We're committed to the reestablishment of the Pittsburgh Pirates as a contender in the National League. We are intending to have the type of ball club that both on and off the field can command and earn the respect and support of this community. And we fully expect to be able to accomplish that in a reasonable period of time.
The deal to buy the Pirates must be approved by 3/4 of the National League team owners and half of the American League owners. Dennis Atkinson for CBS News, Pittsburgh.
Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has arrived in Paris for his first visit to the West since taking office. He said he hopes his trip will lead to a return to detente. Chief U.S. arms negotiator Max Kampelman flew home from Geneva today to explain a new Soviet arms reduction offer. He said the fine print of the proposal needs careful study. Muslim extremists in Beirut have executed one of the 4 Soviet hostages they took this week, the bullet-riddled body of 32-year-old Arkady Katkov. The Soviet embassy counselor was found in an empty lot in West Beirut. A caller claiming to represent the kidnapper said they plan to kill the other 3 Russians and blow up the Soviet embassy if their demand is not met. They want the Soviets to help arrange a truce in Tripoli. Tunisia's President Habib Bourguiba has condemned the United States for what he called its negative and unexpected support of Israel in that air raid on the Palestine Liberation Organization's headquarters in Tunis. The PLO has said about 60 people died in the raid. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad says the action he's taken will save about 1,000 farms in his state. Branstad imposed a moratorium on farm foreclosures in order to pressure President Reagan and Congress to move on the farm debt crisis. A new offering from McDonald's, the fast food chain, is now test marketing something called McPizza. It's described as oval-shaped and containing dough, cheese, ground beef, pepperoni, and pizza sauce. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 3.70 in the volume so far today, 127,390,000 shares.
You know, a child's mind is not a toy.
Xavier Roberts, founding father of the Cabbage Patch Kids, talks about cable television.
That's why I really like cable TV. It's got so much for the developing mind. There's a channel just for kids that's approved by the PTA. And award-winning shows like Fraggle Rock. So what makes me such an expert on programs for children? Well, I am the father of over 25 million kids.
Cable TV. It's not just more choice. It's your choice. Sponsored by the Council for Cable Information.
When you're busy, don't be put on hold, because information sharing is essential to success. The Tandy 6000 from Radio Shack, a powerful multi-user system, allows your office to work together by sharing one computer. And with the Tandy 6000, you also get Radio Shack technology, service, and support. We'll be here when you need us. The Tandy 6000, a wealth of information for sound business decisions. Call Radio Shack today.
Radio Shack, may I help you?
Tandy, clearly superior.
Police in Rome became suspicious about the license plates on a car parked at Leonardo da Vinci Airport. A computer check showed the car did not match the plates. Explosives experts were sent to the scene and they blew open the car's doors to get inside. Turns out the car belongs to U.S. Army General James Brown, commander of NATO air forces in southern Europe. The license plates were okay. It was all a mix-up. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
This is a CBS News special report, The Death of Rock Hudson. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
Mr. Rock Hudson has acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which was diagnosed over a year ago in the United States.
Mr. Hudson died this morning peacefully at his Beverly Hills home after
a lingering illness.
The world first learned that actor Rock Hudson had acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or AIDS, last July when he flew to Paris for treatment with an experimental drug. Today, less than 3 months later, he died quietly in his sleep at home in California, close to the movie studios that made him famous. Born in Illinois 60 years ago next month, Rock Hudson began his film career after wartime service in the Navy. Film critic Rex Reed says though he starred in dozens of movies, including Magnificent Obsession, Giant, Written on the Wind, and Pillow Talk, Hudson attracted fans with his genial nature.
While Rock Hudson regrettably never achieved the strong leading man legendary status, you know, of a Gary Cooper or a Clark Gable, he still nevertheless made everybody comfortable who watched him on the screen.
Reed says in a Hollywood that rewarded superstars, Hudson was of a different breed.
He was very reliable and just a very dependable kind of pleasant category. And it was a, you know, exemplified by Rock Hudson, that category where men can cry and men can be sensitive, but men can also be sturdy and rocks of Gibraltar all at the same time.
Actor Robert Stack, who often appeared with Hudson, speaks of the controversy that developed since the fact that Hudson had AIDS became public.
People say that he shouldn't have been acting when he had AIDS, but I don't think he even knew at the time how communicative the disease was.
Stack says Hollywood is a different kind of community and more tolerant of people with Hudson's lifestyle.
Good Lord, our profession has had people who have had their own choice of sexual patterns since the beginning of time. If you take out people that are gays out of our profession, you would take out entire industries.
Throughout today, Hudson was remembered by friends and colleagues, saddened by his death, but proud of the contribution he made to public awareness of AIDS. Actress Linda Evans said his greatest gift to the world was his acknowledgement of his disease and his willingness to educate people and raise their consciousness. Bernie Wagner of the San Francisco AIDS Foundation.
There is some frustration in the gay community about Rock Hudson and AIDS in general. Why does a superstar get global attention because he is ill, and people in San Francisco and other parts of the country are dying every day with AIDS?
Wagner hopes the Hudson case will mean quicker progress toward ending the AIDS menace.
I think that his death and his illness has brought us a lot closer to a cure. I think it has placed a lot of pressure on the government as far as spending and allocating a lot more money for research.
Last month at an AIDS fundraising affair in California, Burt Lancaster read a statement from Rock Hudson.
I am not happy that I am sick. I'm not happy that I have AIDS. But if that is helping others, I can at least know that my own misfortune has had some positive work.
Rock Hudson knew he had AIDS almost a year before his public did, and last March in a CBS News interview, Hudson reflected on his life.
I have a healthy amount of complaints, and that's fine. Mainly, I liked my life. I love my life.
Hours after his death was announced, the House passed a bill almost doubling the amount of money to be spent for AIDS research and care, a tribute to the public awareness of the disease that Hudson's case brought to the fore. This has been a CBS News special report, The Death of Rock Hudson. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News. This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The Muslim terrorists who kidnapped four Soviet diplomats in Beirut Monday have lived up to their promise. They've killed one of their prisoners and left his body for others to find. Don McNeil flew to Beirut today for this report.
The body of Soviet cultural attaché, Arkady Katkov, was dumped in a deserted roadway in southern Beirut. He had a 7mm bullet hole in his temple. He was said to have been mutilated. The corpse was taken to the American hospital. The fate of the three other Soviets, kidnapped by a group called the Islamic Liberation Organization, is unknown. Security around the Soviet embassy was very tight as various malicious patrols, after a phone call to a Western news agency, threatening to blow it up. The caller said he represented the same organization that claimed responsibility for the kidnapping. The murder is considered a slap in the face for Syrian President Hafez Assad, who had warned of grave consequences if any of the Russians were killed. The kidnapper's single demand is an end to the Syrian-backed attack on the northern port of Tripoli, where they have been pounding Sunni fundamentalists. Today there was a lull in the fighting, and it was believed that the Sunni leader of the town had gone to Damascus for talks. Don McNeil, CBS News, Beirut.
Bet if I told you someone took half the sugar out of jams and jellies and kept in all the fresh fruit taste, you'd know who it was. Smucker's. Smucker's low sugar spreads. Plump raspberries, juicy oranges, red ripe strawberries. All the great taste of Smucker's with half the sugar, half the calories. No artificial sweeteners. Bet you'll feel good about serving your family low sugar spreads. With a name like Smucker's, it has to be good.
Get the facts, the who, the when, the where. You get the fun, and we will take you there. The one, there's nothing like us, TV Guide. The facts, the fun, the one, TV Guide.
Don Johnson and Sybil Shepherd heat up the long, hot summer. A miniseries expert picks the winners, and Howard Cosell strikes again, only in TV Guide.
The facts, the fun, the one.
The French are calling it Operation Seduction. And what they mean is Mikhail Gorbachev's effort this week to seduce President Mitterrand to the Soviet side and the power struggle with the United States. David Andelman begins our report.
There was all the pomp and ceremony of a state visit. Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev arriving in Paris this afternoon to begin his first trip to the West since assuming office. Met at the airport by French President François Mitterrand, Gorbachev drove directly to the Élysée Presidential Palace, where they began a 2.5-hour conversation that officials of both sides said later dealt heavily with international issues, particularly arms control and the space weapons program of President Reagan. At a briefing following the afternoon session, Russian spokesman Leonid Zamyatin said that Gorbachev would unveil tomorrow at a session of the French Parliament details on the Soviet arms control plan, already presented to the United States in Geneva. In his conversations today with Mitterrand, Gorbachev pressed for French support for an end to the arms race in space and on Earth, seeking French support in the Soviet efforts to turn off the Star Wars program.
This is Mark Phillips. Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev didn't allow the Russian hostage crisis to interfere with his official program here, but it was clear it was on his mind. A Kremlin spokesman traveling with Gorbachev said the general secretary had spent most of yesterday dealing with the crisis and that the Soviet Union had asked Syria and some Lebanese groups to try to get the surviving Russian hostages released. Just the fact that Gorbachev had authorized his spokesman to comment on the hostage-taking and killing was a sign of his concern. But on the surface, at least, Gorbachev was not allowing himself to be thrown off stride. He's come to France with the clear intention of trying to drive a wedge between the United States and Western Europe, particularly on the Star Wars issue. And the Middle East drama was not going to interfere with that objective. Still, this is the first chance for the outside world to see the relatively new Soviet leader in action, and they are seeing him perform through a demanding schedule while at the same time coordinating his country's response to another major event. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Paris.
This is The World Tonight. More CBS News in 1 minute.
Hi, sports fans. Biff Burns again with Dugout Dialogue. With us today is center fielder Bo Furbush, who's hitting a pathetic 135. Bo, how are you?
Oh, terrible, Biff. I just found out I'm being traded to the Bismarck Bisons.
Well, that's too bad, especially since you've already been traded 12 times this year.
It's getting so I can hardly remember whether I'm the home team or a visitor. But that's not the half of it.
Oh?
To get Bismarck to take me, the club had to throw in its IBM Pro printer.
Isn't that the IBM printer that works with most personal computers?
Right, it does up to 200 characters per second. Graphics, too. And it sells for less than $550.
Oh, you seem to know a lot about the IBM Pro printer.
Well, I figured I'd read up on it since we'll be spending a lot of time together on the bus out to South Dakota.
Well, I believe Bismarck is in North Dakota.
You don't think they're trying to lose me, do you?
For the authorized IBM dealer or product center nearest you, call 1-800-IBM-2468 or contact your IBM marketing representative. IBM Personal Printers, for the finishing touch.
Rock Hudson died today, a year after doctors told him that he had contracted the fatal disease AIDS. Jerry Bowen reports on the sadness in Hollywood.
There was more sorrow than shock in the Hollywood community when it was learned that Hudson had died in his sleep this morning at his Beverly Hills home from the disease AIDS. The shock came last July when the 59-year-old actor acknowledged he was suffering from AIDS and confirmed what Hollywood had known for some time, that Hudson was homosexual. Hudson's battle against AIDS led to a new public awareness of the disease and the formation of a new national foundation to find a cure. Hudson contributed $250,000 to the foundation, and a Hollywood fundraiser last month attended by many stars raised another $1 million. For three decades, Hudson's image was that of the suave leading man. That's the way actress Jane Wyman remembers him. They co-starred in the 1954 production of the movie Magnificent Obsession.
He was very warm and interested in everything, you know, which makes it for an interesting association when you're working with someone like that.
Longtime friend and actress Elizabeth Taylor described Hudson's death as tragic, and actor Burt Reynolds said Hudson's death marks the end of an era where a movie star really looked like a movie star. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The House of Representatives passed a $105 billion appropriation bill today. It includes almost $190 million for AIDS research. And now this report. This is Mitchell Krause in the CBS newsroom. A strong earthquake measuring 5 on the Richter scale rumbled through Southern California late today. It was centered 7 miles southeast of San Bernardino. So far, no reports of damage or casualties. The quake was also felt in downtown Los Angeles. The World Tonight continues after this.
Well, Billy, how's the old dog-walking business coming?
Walk 7 dogs today, Dad.
Ooh, you ready for a partner?
Nope, but I am ready for the Merlin telephone system from AT&T.
What?
Like you got in your office?
Oh, well, someday when you're a big boy, we'll get you the Merlin telephone system because it does make your small business run smoother.
Because there's up to 40 features, right?
Right. Conference calling, automatic redial.
Speed dialing, office intercom.
You bet, son.
Let's call AT&T Small Business Connection. 1-800-247-7000.
We'll give AT&T a call in a few years, okay?
1-800-247-7000.
Then AT&T will customize the Merlin telephone system to fit your business needs, okay?
1-800...
Billy, how much money can you possibly make from an itsy-bitsy dog-walking business?
The bank says $78,542.16.
That's 1-800-247-7000.
Call the Small Business Connection at 1-800-247-7000. AT&T, the right choice.
Stocks down today. The Dow Jones Industrials closed around 1334, down 7.28. The average price down 14 cents on the New York Exchange, volume 147 million shares. Wall Street. On this World Tonight.
This is your CBS news station in Los Angeles, KNX News Radio 1070. Good evening, I'm Barry Rode. These are the local headlines at 6:09. As you heard on CBS, a real window rattler in the Southland, a late afternoon earthquake hit 5.0 on the Richter scale.